Hello and welcome back to the Wide World of Wargaming. As always, I am your host, Alex Gonzalez, with my co-hosts, Garrett and John today. Jeremy and Matthew are not going to be able to make it today, but we do have a lot on our plate as we are nearing our destination on the road towards Nova. You know, we do have a lot to cover today, and we are going to go a little bit off script, and rather than review an event or a battle tome here, we are going to be talking a little bit about how we are going to prepare for Nova and how we are currently preparing and packing for Nova, and in addition to that, how one might be able to effectively prepare for any large event, whether it be Nova, LVO, SoCal Open, your local GT in your region, or anything else in between. John, what is on your workbench today?
Hey, how's it going, Alex? I hope that all of you had a great week, co-hosts and listeners alike. Mine was certainly most excellent. And on my workbench this week, I am still enjoying this fine Glenlivet 12 from Daniel, our listener, gave me to a couple weeks ago. That's what my whistle needed, a little something wet. Well, what can I say, gentlemen? Last weekend, I played in an AOS RTT and I won. And this week I played in a 40K RTT and I came in last place. I came so far in last that I was beaten by people who lost two rounds and dropped the third round, not even finishing the event.
We've all been there.
Yeah.
I'd say I've been there, but oh my Lord.
It's been a long, long time. Needless to say, my dreams of drop pod armies need a little work. That said, other than that, I have been doing a lot of hobby prep, getting ready for the Nova Open. Now, as you guys know, I have a fully painted Skaven army and I've been playing with it for days, but as we all tend to do, running up to a tournament, I got a wild hair in my butt and decided that I needed to try something different or something new or, well, something easy to travel with. And so I went ahead and looking over at the Nova pack, I saw that they do want to use the GW basing rules. And now via the guide that was given in the Nova pack, my basing would have been acceptable, but I decided to strictly go with the updated basing guide that GW just put out, and they did change the basing size for my Plague Furnace. So I went ahead and rebased my Screaming Bell and Plague Furnace this week. I also added a few colors to my Warp Seer. Now, he's like at 12 colors and kind of going with a Zinch kind of a paint scheme on him. But as I was talking to our good friend James O'Brien and trying to see which Vermin Lords I might be able to borrow, again, reducing how much stuff I'm packing out to Nova, it turns out that the Warp Seer is the one Vermin Lord that he has to loan to me. So, of course, if you guys think about the Warp Seer kit, and then the Warbringer is the other one I'm bringing. The Warp Seer and the Warbringer are built exactly the same, except the offhand for the Warp Seer is that globe, and the Warbringer is that punch dagger. So I basically cut off the Warp Seer's globe and magnetized on a punch dagger, and then I added a bunch of colors to him so that everything looks pretty finished, just like contrast paints on the horns and some stuff like that to bring him up. And so I was looking pretty good. Like at that point, I was looking at, you know, maybe I can just do some bonus hobbying. Like I have some of my banners that I clipped a little bit shorter earlier in the year so they would fit in my case. So I could, you know, maybe paint off the top of where I clipped those banners and clean things up. Some of my banners don't have any logos on them. So I was thinking maybe trying some freehand Skaven, kind of deciding what I was going to do with my extra time. And then I was looking at my Screaming Bell and I was like, oh, you know what? I think I could do a little bit better job of the gray seer that is sitting on top of the Screaming Bell. And so I went ahead and I, you know, like I've been using rattle cans since I was a teenager, but even before, I probably was pre-10 when I first, so I'm fairly skilled with a rattle can and I know how to do all the street art tricks with apertures and using piece of paper and all kinds of stuff. Okay, and even Seth has sat down with me and we've worked out some pretty cool stuff with rattle cans. So I can work a rattle can. Okay. And that's the problem is I go around thinking I can work a damn rattle can. So I went to go ahead and do a little prime on the Gray Seer. And, well, guess what? I now have an entire screaming bell that's been primed in gray sear, and it's 2 days before the tournament, or 3 days before the tournament. So in the next 2 days before I leave, I am actually going to paint an entire screaming bell from scratch, even though he was almost finished. So that is what is on my workbench, and I am not going to claim it's going to be the best paint job in the 2 days, but May the gods of contrast paint be praised. We are going to put them to their test. Oh, man. And that is it for me. How about you, Garrett? What is your extended workbench this week, my friend?
Well, as far as modeling goes and gaming goes, I've had a pretty lax week. I've been, after my trip back from WarGamesCon, I've decided to earn as many life points as I could before my extended trip to Crystal City, 15 minutes from my house, but I will be gone Wednesday through Sunday, so I've had to earn a lot of life points, you know, just so I've been hanging out with my wife a lot this weekend, did some work in the backyard, we dug up a bunch of the stones, and we're looking to try to plant some clover, so did a lot of yard work, and then this evening I got a session of Dungeons & Dragons in with my wife and some friends. So just doing a lot of, you know, home time, wife time, getting ready for the nice extended work event of Nova. I'm just going to be bringing my WarGamesCon list to the Nova RTT, so no additional work needed. I could beef up my Black Knights, but honestly, I'm not going to win any paint awards anyways, so we'll see what happens.
Not with that attitude.
Yeah.
I figured the time with my wife was more worth it than trying to win some paint awards finishing my Black Knights off. So yeah, not a whole lot of exciting things happening for me, but I'm really excited for Nova. It's going to be a great event. So just real pumped. I'll be heading there in a couple of days to help set up and get set up all the tables for the GT. Make sure all the TOs are ready to go with BCP and all that sort of stuff. So it'll be a lot of fun. Alex, how are you doing with just a few days left before Nova?
Oh, man, I got a lot to do in almost no time. I don't know what I'm talking about. I had a big weekend doing the same thing, getting girlfriend points in. And I am going to be leaving on Wednesday for the Nova RTT, and then I am going to be playing in the Open. It's my birthday weekend, so Saturday is my birthday, so I am ready to go hard, so to speak. I on my workbench right now, I have, let me take a look, besides two claws, because there's no laws when you're drinking claws. We got two Dreadscythe Herodons, one Spirit Torment, three Chain Rasps, five Chain Rasps, and 30 Bladegeist Revenants. They're all painted to a tabletop standard, but almost all of them I have to go in and I just basically need to finish basing. I use a lot of like crackle medium and some extra things here and there. So there's a lot of dry brushing I have to do and like some extra, you know, almost like ink work, like get a moot green, a airbrush moot green, get it almost to the point where it's basically just water that's green. Not even like a wash, just like almost nothing and start to, really try to add, you know, surgically add it between the crackle medium because my crackle medium is kind of ending. It's kind of on its end legs. I've had it for years. I have the Korma one, but I know that it's not my favorite brand. But the Korma one has done me really well. Problem is, lately, if you put the base coat of the color you want underneath the crackle, I guess the crackle medium has been kind of destroying that bottom layer so that all that exists is the black of the base. I've tried several different techniques to avoid this and it has not like worked. So I got a lot of like, you know, it's almost like I got to do the same thing twice, you know, but the second time is a lot more difficult. So I have a lot of just basing to do. And then I have one Chain Rasp, like Sergeant. I already forgot their name. The dudes with the candles. I have one of those to paint, but he's like almost completely done. I just have to do some washes and then like one highlight and I'm good, or one dry brush basically, and I'm done. So yeah, that's pretty much all that's on my workbench. I was expecting to try to get some games in, but I've been a busy boy and, you know, Jeremy has been a busy guy, so I haven't been able to get any practice games in. So Nova RTT will basically be my practice, unless I miraculously am able to get a game on Wednesday evening. Who knows? So yeah, that is on my workbench in particular. And that leads us to just regular preparation here for the tournament at hand, you know, the regular prep that we might have in place. And with the preparation for Nova, or again, any big event just in general, there's a lot to it. John, what type of preparation do you have right now for Nova, and what type of advice can you give our listeners regarding just preparation for a GT overall, or even a major?
Right. So I myself have been hitting the tournament scene for about 7 years now, averaging 20 or more tournaments a year, averaging 3 to 5 GTs a year. So I might not be the best player in the world, but by gosh, I play a lot. And one thing that I found early on, and especially as I was moving more into GTs and wanting to do well at them, is that, you know, it takes a lot out of you to play a game of Warhammer. A game of Age of Sigmar, typically 2 to 4 hours if you're playing in your garage or with some friends. But when you're doing it that way, you are not realizing it, but you're taking little breaks. You both have little conversations. You step away to use the restroom. You go buy your buddy a water at the store. You come back. So there's a little bit of that built in. When you're at a tournament, because of the 3-hour time limit, and this game can be a challenge to play in 3 hours if there's equally matched armies, right? Then there's not a lot of that extra time for chit-chat. There's not a lot of time to go grab a beverage in the middle of the game or what have you. So it's an endurance fest. And then you have a short lunch, often difficult to go, you know, hurry, everyone's getting lunch, you got to go get food, you got to get back. And then boom, it's another 3 hours, short break, another 3 hours. So that is a 10-hour day minimum. And so my biggest thing that I would say for myself that I do to prep, and I would say for other people, is endurance. It's in the week before the tournament, making sure I actually get pretty good sleep so that I know I'm going to be staying up late. I know I'm going to be drinking extra, partying, chit-chatting, all that good stuff with my friends. So I want to be a little extra rested. So when I start burning the candle a little thin over the weekend, I have some reserves of energy. I myself, the reason I did hold a tournament last weekend and why I even bothered to go to the 40K tournament this weekend was, again, for endurance, to get my body used to playing 3 games in a row, being there all day, staying on my feet, making sure I'm hydrating. I wasn't even worried about how well I did in the 40K tournament. For me, that was an exercise in making sure that I was physically ready to stand around all day and you know, be in a GT, as it were. So that's the big thing right there, is make sure that you're physically ready. And sometimes, you know, if the GT is next weekend, it's too late to get better shape. But I myself, as I was starting to have some fatigue issues in longer GTs, had to make a conscious decision in my life to actually up my exercise level, walk a mm-hmm. little more, watch what mm-hmm. I eat, and all these things, honestly, just to be able to make it through the day. So that's that. Beyond that, you know, then we start to get into like the mechanical prep for things, right? You know, for example, James offered for me to ship my army over to him. It's something I considered, but the timing of everything kind of didn't work out. And I realized that I wasn't going to check a bag anyways. I was just, since it's a weekend, everything is going to fit in my little carry-on duffel bag. I'm going to go ahead and take my full-size suitcase and I'm going to use it to pack my army. I mean, you're going to say, wow, you're going to just check your army? I said, yeah, because if I ship my army, it's going to go in the same cargo hold as the luggage. And my suitcase is large enough to where I can pack all of my armies. They're going to get wrapped. They're going to get put into small boxes. And then those small boxes are going to be surrounded by packing material and clothes. So there's basically the outer shell of my suitcase, some soft materials, and then the inner boxes with my army. So that's part of my prep, has been gathering packing materials, gathering the boxes together. And then Wednesday night, I'm going to wrap everything up and put it together. I was waiting till Wednesday because I thought I might be able to get another game in. But with the extra challenge of having to paint the Screaming Bell this week, I don't see myself getting an extra game in. So yeah, that's kind of that. And then the last thing was something that Alex and I were talking a little bit earlier, and I mentioned to him, and I thought he was a new concept, so I thought we could maybe get into it a little bit here. And that's for major GTs, especially when I'm running a complex army, I usually like to write a script. And so a lot of you that I talked to or met or people that know me saw me at the LVO and again at other tournaments since then. I have a script for my Nurgle army, and it basically is just a little like a folder like you would use for a book report or something like that at school, with the plastic sheaves in the inside. And inside, I printed all my data sheets, so I have the data sheet for every unit in my army, handy, ready to go. Easier to read than those little cards, taking advantage of my old eyes on second day, not having to read tiny script or nothing like that. And then the first two pages are my actual script. And so one of them is my turn sequence. And so I basically, by character, by unit, I write down everything that has to happen at the beginning of the turn. So anything that happens before the game, before the turn, in between rounds, all of that stuff, I just have a little list of things that I need to remember. Then it goes into the hero phase, and there's a bunch of things in most of my armies. Like with Skaven, I have to remember to roll for the Screaming Bell, and I have to roll for the extra command points right at the beginning of the hero phase. Now, when I'm playing a friendly game in an RTT, and I remember that halfway through my hero phase, nobody cares. But at a highly competitive GT, especially if you're doing well, say, and you're in the upper half of tables, maybe that little mulligan isn't going to be available to you, or you don't even want to ask, right? You maybe want to save something better to ask a favor from your opponent, because when you ask a favor from your opponent, that means that you then have to give a favor to your opponent. So always be careful about asking for that mulligan, as it were. And so that's kind of important. You know, it's like, do all these things and go through. And then there's nothing special after that, right? Each phase is the same. What do you do in the movement phase? What do you do in the shooting phase? What do you do in the charge phase? What do you do in the combat phase? What do you do in the battle shock phase as far as that goes? I mean, Garrett, you know, you were there at LVO. You saw my script, right?
Yes, I did.
What'd you think of that? Is that some kind of thing that might be helpful to you, or is that only for slow old guys for like myself?
Well, actually, I think you're not unique in this stance, because there's a local from out here. I saw him being advertised by the Nova community, but he created a website called AOS Reminders, I believe.
I was mention that.
Right.
Yeah, the Nova team has been pushing the AOS Reminders website, so people can actually select the units that they're using and the faction that they're using, and it will tell you a lot of the rules that you have to remember from each phase. So kind of help you generate your own script that you've been using, John. So, I myself don't really use one of those, just because I kind of make my brain just like consume information, and I kind of like can manage a lot of those things just because the way that my brain thinks from a more of a logical standpoint. Having a sheet is actually kind of distracting for me.
Garrett, why are you trying to say that John's not logical? Are you trying to say he's not smart?
No.
Yeah, that's right. I'm a buffoon over here. We all know that.
No,
right?
I have a very mechanical
Garrett, that's
brain.
Really mean-spirited.
Oh, I know. Geez, I'm just going to go cry now.
I guess mechanical is the right phrase then, to not be as mean. You are not alone. My local out here, he plays Nurgle as well, and he did the exact same thing. He built a script of literally every single thing he had to do at the start of the hero phase, everything he had done in the hero phase, and so it's definitely a really good idea. I think everyone should definitely, when you're first starting an army, do that 100% for all of your practice games minimum. That way you're practicing correctly and not jumping right into the GT and being like, oh wait, now I got it. Like doing it with lots of repetition way. Because just building the script and then going to the GT is one thing. Building the script, practicing with the script, and then taking it to the GT so it doesn't slow down your game. Because if you just have the script, you're going to spend a lot of time referencing that script over and over again. When in reality, at a GT with your limited time, you shouldn't be spending so much time having to constantly look up your rules, look up your when things happen. Those should be, you know, as they in the what we talked about earlier in the War Games Con packet, where it said you should memorize most of your own rules. That way you're not spending so much time looking up rules and looking up things. So definitely get reps in with a script or something. That way you don't have to constantly reference it. You just use it for a quick just scan of like, did I forget everything? You know?
So I get it, Garrett. I get it. So you're saying I'm an illogical buffoon and that my idea is fucking shit and it's just going to slow me down for the rest of the
Garrett, I got it. See him in you are just days. A
jackass. Am I going to be stuck in a room with you for the next 4 days? Damn it.
Yes, you'll be stuck in a room and, you know, I might just force you onto the floor like the dog that you are.
Oh my gosh. He's going to put me down. I see how it is.
Oh my God, man. This is getting dark. This is a dark timeline we're in right now. Jeez.
That's okay. Ooh. East Coast boy. We'll see who falls asleep first.
Yeah.
One of the top 10 people I don't want to cross. John is one of them.
Yeah, that's true. I did want to mention, you were talking about those little rituals that you play during a garage game where you can like, you know, take a break, do some chit chat. And it did make me think that actually during a lot of games, usually around turn one, like my opponent's first movement phase, I actually walk away from the table to go get drinks for me and my opponent. Because usually the first turn movement phase takes a long time. And honestly, the movement phase is one of those things where it's like, other than run rolls, your opponent doesn't do it. There's nothing for you to like watch out for unless they're going to cheat. I usually trust my opponents that it's like, yeah, no, he's going to move legally. And if there's anything that's egregious, I would obviously know. Like if a guy went from one end of the table to the other, it's like, he doesn't have a 72-inch move. Like, so it's like, so I tend to like trust my opponent, usually just like, hey, can you just roll all your run rolls real quick? And then I'll go get us a drink or something. And I do actually like what you mentioned about those little rituals to calm down your mind. Cause I think it helps me a lot where, you just walk away from the table, let your opponent like get in the zone and do their thing. And you can kind of like sit there for a second and make a mental plan of how you're going to attack this game now that everything's kind of been deployed and set up. And I think doing that with like calming yourself down, walking away from the table helps with that endurance that you're talking about. You're not constantly at all times like in reactionary mode. You can take a second to go get a drink, relax for a second, come back to the game and be refreshed, play out the rest of the game. And just if you do that once a game, I think it helps break up the grueling pace of a lot of tournaments.
Yeah, I think you really hit on a point there. You know, myself, although I was talking about it in garage games, once you started telling your story there, I realized that I actually do that a lot of the times too. I don't even think about it. It's the first round. I'll offer to buy my opponent a beverage, go grab myself a drink. A lot of times I'm doing it for the social win. It's like, here, let me buy the guy a drink to start the game off. That way we're starting off on a polite good foot, you know. But also, yeah, that is that moment when I often kind of think about my initial plan. So interesting. That's a very tactical decision.
Yeah, I thought about it the same way, how I always just did that just to, you know, get us both on a like, yeah, I'm buying you a drink. We're both on a friendly foot to kind of make this game into, you know, not as a grueling tactical. Like, yeah, no, this is a gentleman's game we're playing. Let's just get some drinks out of play. But yeah, no, definitely. I never thought about that until you pointed out the garage games. Alex, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, I think that being able to, you know, bribe your opponent with a drink at the head, it does help, you know. It helps your sportsmanship score. It does start things off on a pretty good pace for you. You know, I got to say, mentioning some of the things that John mentioned before, I'm glad that we did talk a little bit about a reminder system or a script here, especially when it comes to the you know, the AOS reminder systems as well. I think that walking away during any time, I think the movement phase is great. I was going to make a little comment there about how a lot of my opponents lately always want to walk away at the start of my movement phase. And I'm like, oh, wait, hold on. I have like several start of movement phase things that are very important. And then I just see them and they go, like they already have 1 foot out the door almost, you know? And I'm like, no, come back. Like,
That's Alex's psychological play by breaking their momentum there and getting catching them on an off foot. Very clever.
Oh, totally. Very, very, very on purpose. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I do tend to actually wait till like they've moved a couple of units and like, okay, so now I kind of see the direction they're going, and that's when I'll walk away. You know, not I don't tend to move away. Hero phase is over. I'm out. I tend not to be that quick on the draw.
Yeah, you got to see how it's going to play out. Like, if all of a sudden they're like, yeah, I'm going to move this one model. Okay, I'm done. Like, oh, whoops.
Actually, at WarGamesCon, this happened to me. I had to pee at, like, the start of turn, like, the end of turn one or something. And I was like, okay, I'll just wait till my opponent's movement phase. And his movement phases were, like, 2 minutes. He'd move, like, two units and end. And so I, like, did it. And then after the game ended, we went and got a drink because I didn't want to be rude. And like, we had a great time. We were talking about it. And then we went back to pack up more models. And I was just like, okay, I have to go. I've had to pee for like the last 2 hours.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. That's impressive. That's impressive. I would not survive that.
Yeah.
Well, and I was pounding drinks because like, why? Oh, boy. Because I have an aqua fixation. I just always have to be drinking something for whatever reason.
So I have a fun little story about the movement phase and going away or having discretion there with your opponent. One of the least sportsmanlike games I'd ever played was a game of 40K back when I was good at it. And I was at the Broadside Bash. And honestly, I don't even remember the guy's name. But there was an individual that I had played, and he came up with kind of just a bad attitude in general. And this event, Broadside Bash, which was an amazing event. I think it was one of the first few times I had even met John was at a Broadside Bash.
Yep.
And we were top table, and it was fifth edition Necrons versus fifth edition Dark Eldar. And I mean, turn one, I had already like basically destroyed half his army with like two models because that's how fifth ed Necrons were. But there was a big, like in the veterans hall, there was a big wall, and it was all just one big glass like wall. And he would always be smoking. This is before the day of the vape pen, right? I'm sure he loves them. I don't know. But he would go out and watch our game. He would watch my movement phase from behind the glass outside while like furiously smoking cigarettes. And eventually it became angrily smoking cigarettes because he wanted to call the game turn two, and the TOs were like, no, you're top table. You guys are not calling this game. So yeah, that also happened,
wild.
By the way.
You're killing me.
Yeah. That was one of the funniest experiences I had because he wanted to call it, asked the TO to call it, and the TO is straight up like, no, of course not. Like, you're top table. This isn't happening. I won't allow you to call it. But that's funny. Yeah, so pro tip to everyone, let the people move in their movement phase if you need to go get a drink or a smoke, but don't like furiously hawkishly watch the people from glass from afar while they're doing their movement phase, because it's just weird. It's just weird.
Oh yes. Wow, that is a special story right there. I mean, I've had some very interesting opponents. I've had some amazing opponents. I've had some incredible games, but I have never had somebody mad dog me while chain smoking outside the event. That is a new one.
No, it was a new one for me too.
Okay.
Oh boy.
Yeah. I was actually talking with a local who played Michael Vaginos, and they were playing the game, and like they apparently had a super intense turn one, and like, there was a lot of surprises. So both of them were just like, we're both just going to go take a quick smoke break. And they just like disappeared. My game ended, and I was like looking over. I'm like, because they were like top table in round four of a five round GTs. And, you know, it was my buddy Dutch. And so I look over, I'm like, is their game over already? Like, I thought that was going to be a tough game. And then it's like, they're just gone. I'm like, but their models are still there. So they just went out, they had a smoke break, they both like calmed down, and then they came back and they finished out the game, and it was great. But it was just like weird that it's like they both just bailed. I'm like, okay, we both need a smoke break.
Oh, that's pretty funny. That is pretty funny.
Dude, I love that idea. I'm not going to lie. I have definitely been to tournaments where I have brought a flask or a bottle of whiskey, and before the game begins, if the person seems tense, I'm just like, hey, like, do you want a shot? Like,
I mean, may have done that, but we've also been to GTs and tournaments where you just had the bottle sitting right on the table and just went for it. So what the heck?
Yeah.
By the way, Garrett, this is very, very important for my own Nova prep, because I do got a pack to go over there, and I still have a time to do things like if I need to ship a good bottle to James's house or anything. What is the alcohol policy down in the gaming areas?
Yes.
The alcohol policy, from my understanding, is you are not technically allowed to have outside alcohol other than the hotel bar or what you would buy from the Nova lounge.
Okay, cool. So you can have alcohol as long as you bought it there at the hotel.
Correct.
Okay, well, that'll work. Said, that's fine.
There are certain members of the Nova crew that tend to walk around with their own tumblers of whiskey, well, all the time. So
I certainly could not condone the breaking of any rules like that. Yeah. You know, it's rules of intent and rules of the heart. They must always be followed. So, yeah, of course, never would sneak alcohol into an event like that and refill my glass or anything like that and maybe use the same glass from the bar all weekend. Never would consider doing something like
John,
that.
John, you are a paragon. You are a paragon of morality here.
Yes. So
we all have to applaud you on that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Wow. Well, you know, it's exciting to get us all ready to go here for this Nova prep. You know, I would say in terms of advice I would give individuals for how they might be able to prepare for an event, you guys covered pretty much all the bases here. I will say, just as one final note, besides just making sure that you have all of your own rules on lock, read the player packet. I'm going to say that one more time. Read the player packet. And that does lead us into, a tail portion of this episode. And that is going to be what we actually are going to have at the event, what we're going to have at Nova Open here. And with Nova, we have a lot of different events that are in place. Like we talked about with our good friend James last week, there is going to be the Nova RTT, which will be an ITC event, that one-day event on Thursday. But they also have, you know, of course, the Age of Sigmar Grand Tournament on the weekend of the 31st. We do have the Age of Sigmar Doubles Team event also on Friday the 30th, the Grand Narrative event, the Friendly event, and even Kids Hammer, which I thought was going to be a great event. You know, it's aimed for kids that are preteen to well into the teenage years. So I think it's great that there's such a variety of events specifically for Age of Sigmar, only a couple of years into its birth. You know, with that, you know, again, we don't have to necessarily cover things like the Nova RTT here. And before we get into the grand tournament, let's talk a little bit about the events that some of us and our listeners are going to be able to expect at Nova. Now, Garrett, you had looked over Kids Hammer just a little bit, and John and I were able to look over it too. What were your thoughts initially on Kids Hammer?
So my initial thoughts on Kid Hammer is that it is a wonderful idea. I heard it had great success the last couple of years. The head TO, Steven, is great energy, and he's got a lot of great ideas for getting the kids all excited. So it's a wonderful event that day one, they get the kids together, and I believe they bring out a bunch of the pre-snap together kits with paints, and they get the kids painting, and then they like help them coach them on how the gaming. They have an open gaming and coaching session for 2 hours. They help them get all their armies painted, and then day two is they have this friendly tournament where they get to use the models that they painted the first day, and then afterwards the kids get to take all the models that they painted home. So it gets them some models, gets everyone playing, and it's geared towards the younger crowd, which they aren't typically the, you know, hyper competitive 21 plus crazy things. They can kind of, you know, get in that age group where they can all just have fun, get them into the hobby early, and then in a couple of years, they're going to be joining us in the ranks at the GT, which I think is great.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's definitely the way to go here. That's a hell of a way to introduce someone into the hobby. John, what do you think about Kids Hammer?
Oh, this is an amazing idea. First off, again, as somebody who has engaged in trying to pull in the AOS players at different events, to be able to see that Nova is successful enough to have so many different events, let alone something like Kids Hammer. This is amazing, right? You're gonna let the kids build models, teach them to paint, teach them to game. Here's what it says right here. Develop social skills, requires imagination and creativity, teaches math, tactics, and strategy, and it's not screen time. I mean, if those four statements don't sell it to any gamer parent, because, I mean, you're a gamer parent if you brought your kids to Nova, then I don't know who would. So that's pretty amazing stuff. I tell you, I've been accused of looking young for my age. I don't think I could quite get away with being a 15-year-old, go in and stomp on those kids, kind of take it down that Youngblood tournament. I bet they got some good prizes. So, I'll have to wait on that. Maybe I'll help run an event one day. It's pretty fun stuff, though. I think it's pretty cool. And kids, you know, they're the future, right? I don't know. A lot of people have kids. My kids are all grown. I'm to an age where I'm waiting for grandchildren, as it were. So it's a few years before I have any kids that'll go into an event like this. So nice stuff. And as a bonus, and I hope some of you can appreciate this, with all of my kids grown up, I don't actually spend a lot of time around little children. So I don't often appreciate their presence, as my wife will say. And this gets all the kids out of the way. Hopefully they'll be locked in a quiet room away from the adults, and they'll be having fun but not bothering us. So it'll be the best of all worlds. So that's what I think of Kids Hammer.
Great. And, you know, that's not just the only event that we mentioned just a little bit ago. We also have that doubles tournament that is coming on Friday. Now, I initially did want to start up and jump in with the doubles tournament. I wasn't really able to find someone who wanted to jump in as my partner. You know, I didn't have Paul McKelvey for Team Two Christmases. I didn't have Michael Schwartz or Logan for Team Pleasure Pirates. So, you know.
And you wouldn't even bother with a foolish schlub like myself. So I can imagine. Yeah, I get how it
is. Well, before I was able to ask you, a lot of people did bring up a good point, and that was, hey, don't you want a day to explore DC?
Yes, and that's the truth of it is. Our good friend and teammate, James' wife, has offered to tour a few of us fools around the town and see DC. This is only my second time there, so I've hit the major tourist spots, but now I'm hoping to see a little bit of the insider tour of the city. So that's actually what I'm looking forward to. That said, okay, talking about a doubles tournament, there is no doubt that you and Mr. Schwartz scored a whole lot of points for that doubles tournament at the LVO.
Yes, there were a lot of points that were earned winning the LVO doubles, and that's why I was also looking at that. You know, there is a lot here for this event, and, you know, there's, you know, as the normal Nova packet goes, almost everything is the same in terms of you know, the typical standard formats for, you know, 50 points for an extra CP count as points destroyed. They mentioned the missions that are going to be allowed and what books you should have, and that Forge World. I always think it's funny that they still have to specify if Forge World models are going to be allowed still, because I mean, long gone are the rule ones where it's so blatantly overpowered. And with Age of Sigmar, it's just added supplement, basically, and just allows you to play Chaos Dwarves, basically.
Yeah, I don't think there was ever a time when we even considered that Forge World was not allowed in AOS. That was just a 40K thing, and even that was editions ago.
Exactly. Now, I do find it interesting that both the Nova RTT and the Nova GT are using Scenery Table A for all rules, and yet the doubles tournament is using Scenery Table B, which is the brand new table from General's Handbook 2019. That is a big takeaway I was able to find from this.
I found that interesting. Oh, go ahead, Garrett. Sorry.
I think that is mainly because Chuck Moore will be the head TO for he's the organizer for both the GT and the doubles. And so he made those ones in parallel, while the RTT is run by James O'Brien. So I think Chuck was wanting to have some differences between the main GT and the doubles. So he made the doubles one table and the main GT the table A, while James was kind of trying to use the RTT as prep for the GT. So he kind of followed all the same paths as the GT.
Understood. Okay. You know, and then they have the, you know, I got to say, I'm okay with the hidden objectives, the secret objectives that they have for Nova. I think they're a little easy to achieve, but they're there and they're in place. Not going to say much else beyond that there. But I do think that it is, you know, that it is interesting that they have, you know, just a slightly smaller rubric as well, a painting rubric. You know, it's basically whether or not everything is painted and based, whether or not gaps are filled, basic technique, and a display board, you know. So
I mean, but that makes a lot of sense when you consider that this is this is a hobby rubric that counts as 1/3 of your total score. Okay, so that's like, this is not, this is the big rubric to try and get a lot of scattering of points so that we can determine who is the best painted, who's the worst painted. This is so that everybody can achieve this minimum level, get full or near full paint score, and move on. So I think that this is actually an appropriate abridged rubric when we consider that it is part of your score for the tournament as opposed to a separate hobby track.
That's a good point. That's a very fair point here. And, you know, it's fun to me that I think that the missions that they chose are going to be missions that can cause a lot of arguments, especially if you're my teammate. You know, things like Star Strike being mission one. Scorched Earth is a little easier to coordinate with, I think. But Star Strike and Relocation Orb, I could just assume that there would be so many hilarious arguments between, you know, teammates about going one direction. No, 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 to go this direction. You know, no, I think the Star Strike is going to go here, you know, or, you know, I think the Relocation Orb is going to show up over here. We got to prepare for everything.
You're still talking on the doubles tournament, right?
Oh, of course. Yeah, yes. Yeah. But that does lead us to the grand event here. There is that grand tournament for AOS, of course, this upcoming Friday on my birthday. And there's a lot to sort out. Just like we talked about before, it's Scenery Table A. They are going to be using all rules that are relevant to Age of Sigmar up until their cutoff date of August 17th. Yeah. I don't think anything new has come about for about a month anyways. Except for the War Cry models. Those rules were, I think, late July, right? Yeah. You know, they do have quite a few awards. They got the Hobby Hero, Best Painted, Favorite Opponent, Best Grand Alliance, you know, Best General, basically, and Best Overall. But, you know, they do have, rather than, say, for the doubles tournament, only, say, 4 hidden objectives or secret objectives, they have 8 of them. As I mentioned or referenced a little earlier, I personally think that they are a little easier to achieve. You know, you do still have ancient heirlooms from the rule book, but then you do have and invade is also from the rule book as well as obliterate. But then there's ones like Silence is Golden, which says, you know, you score the objective, you destroy or cause to flee through battle shock any model or unit. So model or units with the keywords wizard, totem, or priest by the end of the game. And if your opponent has no models with that keyword or with those keywords, you just automatically score the objective, which just seems crazy easy. You know, and then Ancient Heirlooms isn't that difficult. Eager for the Slaughter is also hilariously easy to achieve, especially if you your opponent makes you go first and you don't want to go first. You score this objective if in a single turn you run or charge every model, friendly model, or unit in your army. And failed charges still count towards this. So you just, you know, roll a dice for every model, you move them wherever you want to move, and you just say, okay, your turn, you know, ready to go. What are your guys' thoughts on the packet?
Sure. Well, I'll go ahead and take this up, Alex.
Yeah, of course, John.
So I think this packet is, one, it's well put together. So kudos to Chuck if he did all this himself. It's well formatted. It looks good. It has all the elements I'd like to see. I would also mention there that this packet has been available for a long time. So all of us have had plenty of forewarning about what's going on at Nova. We've had a chance to practice these missions, everything. In fact, I myself, part of the tailoring and changes to my army are specific to this particular packet. Now, a couple of things that I found were unique here that I might incorporate. We'll see how it goes, but I thought they were kind of interesting. Number one is that battalions, if you destroy the entire battalion, then whatever the cost of the battalion, you also get that as part of your kill points.
Yeah.
Endless spells and prayers that are not on the board at the end of the game also count as kill points. And the 50-point command point also counts as a kill point. So if you start off with some endless spells and a command point, you might be giving up a couple hundred points of kill points right off the gate. So that's just a thing. So I myself got rid of the extra command point I normally take and am going zero endless spells in this list. So it actually got me another wizard in as far as that goes. Beyond that, I really like that he has chosen to put, you know, each day in a different realm, but it's the same realm all day. So for Saturday, I'm basically going to have a realm of fire. Excuse me, that was the Saturday, right? Before yeah. I open my mouth too much there.
Saturday is the Realm of Fire. Three games.
Yeah, thank you, Garrett. I was hoping you would pop in there. So anyways, Saturday on the Realm of Fire, I'm going to have my own script set up with the spells that I find interested. Kind of, I like to take the fluff out of the descriptions and kind of just get the raw effect of the spell in my script there. And then I'm going to have a different script for day two, which is, of course, in Akwashi. Which is, what is that, the Realm of Light or something like that?
Should be Shaiish is day two for Realm of Death.
Oh, yeah, there it is, sorry. Yeah, Shaiish. So the Realm of Death on day two, again, same thing. I'm going to swap in a separate script for that one. And again, it's nice to only have to worry about the same command ability, the same spells, all of those things all day long. Now, I believe we have no Realmscape features, is that correct?
That is not correct.
Okay, so what are our Realmscape features? Where is that listed here?
Under each mission, I believe it determines, each mission yes. specifies which Realmscape feature is used for that mission.
For I see it right there, yep.
Yeah, for our listeners out there, day one, we are going to have the very first Realmscape. We're going to keep it easy. It is just going to be nothing. Number two, because I have played plenty of Realm of Fire, and I have played it almost always where I have not been allowed to get the spells I want, like Stoked Rage or Inferno Blades. So I'm very happy that I'm going to be allowed to use them finally. You know, there's no salt in my voice here for anyone who's listening.
Right.
But Every Step of League is my all-time number one favorite Realmscape feature, which is for Total Conquest, you know, mission number two. And that is if you make a run move or a charge move over 6 inches, you take on a 4-up, you take 1 mortal wound. And on a 6-up, you take D3 mortal wounds. My mistake, it's actually if you make a run move over 6 inches or a charge over 10 inches, and if everyone knows what army I'm probably bringing to Nova, you'll know that 10-up charge is going to annoy the hell out of me.
And it's not a 4-up. You just automatically take the D3.
Yes. Yes. So, very fun. Third and final mission for day one is going to be Flaming Missiles, which just means that all ranged attacks have +1 AP, +1 rend. Ooh, I'm talking different game systems here. But day two is really simple. The first mission for Shaiish, Baron Moorland, there's nothing there. It's just whatever.
I get it. Well, it was, yeah, because I noticed that each of them had the no effect on the first day. And so that was what stuck in my mind. I was thinking there was no effect. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And then day two, or the second mission, or the final mission for day two, Duality of Death, Eternal War just means that everyone has +1 bravery.
Yes. Nice.
Yeah.
Easy peasy.
Easy peasy. Yeah, so it's going to be a really, really, really exciting event. Are there any final words of wisdom that we have to share with our lovely listeners tonight, John?
All I can say is get plenty of rest, and if you're doing bad at a tournament, keep a smile on your face and remember the game only lasts for an hour, but the friendship you make at the table might last a lifetime.
Aww, that's cute. I like that.
Oh, and clench your butt cheeks when you bend over.
Right. Don't forget that should be our motto every podcast. From a PT, clench your butt cheeks when you bend over. Your back will love you.
Yes.
Okay, great. And what about you, Garrett?
Remember your rules, study your rules, especially they have them in the packet, all of the realm spells, all of the realm command abilities. They will be very potent in helping you have victory. and figure out the little rituals you need to get through this endurance, especially if you're playing in RTT on Thursday, the doubles on Friday, and the GT Saturday, Sunday. That's going to be, 14 games over the course of the weekend? So
you better be a badass.
Or 11 games over the course of the weekend. Yes, so definitely remember your rituals, get plenty of rest, get plenty of hydration. I think that helps if you get lots of water. While do drink as much as you want of whatever beverages you want, do put some water in there as you drink. Keep you on your feet, keep your mind focused. And, as I said earlier, starting last week, I am accepting bribes. So that can go a long way.
Oh, of course. Of course. Great. I gotta give some advice as well. And I'm going to go full into wellness coach mode or health coach mode for those who don't know my profession, for right now. It is, all going to be about making sure that you get enough rest and you drink water. And maybe if you are, locking your knees a little too much, be sure to just bend it down real quick. Maybe bend your knees just a little bit and maybe stretch it out. Maybe do a quick squat, maybe sit down, get back up. Who knows? Whatever really works to get the blood flowing. I also got to say, keeping that hydration up is going to be super important. Back in my old backpacking days, we'd always have a good chant. We would say, drink thy water, love thy feet. You got to do both in order to properly be able to have the stamina to keep things up, especially in a tournament setting. Drink water one for one with booze. I find that to be super helpful. And take your damn vitamins, take your B12, take whatever it is. Yeah. Take that morning vitamins, man. You don't always have to eat right, especially when you're at a tournament, but take your damn vitamins, man.
Oh, I always take my vitamins. I like to do a kind of a vitamin complex, some C, some B, some D. So CBD is always great vitamins to take at the tournament.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's great.
I do want to mention one last thing. While it may be too late for many of you going to Nova, I would definitely try to make sure you have some sort of tray to carry your army, not necessarily your display board, because sometimes display boards can be quite large and unwieldy because of they have a lot of things on them that look really cool, but they're hard to carry around or they're heavy. If you just get a nice tray or something like, a dinner, a cookie sheet that a lot of people use, because that way when you're needing to transfer between rounds, you can quickly just put all your models on the tray and move to the next table.
You can grab a cookie sheet at the local Target or store there. I've taken the coffee tray from under the coffee maker in my room and used that at a tournament.
Yep. But I know that many companies like Hammerhead Games or Frontline, they sell them quite cheap. I think Frontline's are only $25, $35 if you get a little neoprene mat in them. So for future events, definitely look at getting some of those trays. They're really nice and they've really help a ton with speeding up my time between tables.
Yeah, and FLG, I'm not 100% sure, but they should be there with their boards. So be sure to check out their booth if they do have one there, and we can, they'll be able to hook you up at a good price, and I think maybe even for a rental to have one of those trays on lock. So yeah, if you have a display board but you think you might see something a little bit more efficient, do check out Frontline Gaming's booth. They should be able to, again, hook you up pretty well for a rental or even a cheap purchase for a display board. And I think that they even have two different sizes, so that's going to be pretty helpful there.
It's small detail. Even though the television in your room would make a great display tray, the hotel does not look highly on that. So don't do that. just putting it out there.
Okay. It sounds like there's a story there, but we will have to make it for a different event.
That'll be a story on a different day.
Ooh, cannot wait. Cannot wait. With that, if anyone sees us at the event, if you see John, if you see Garrett, if you see our previous guest, James, or our co-host, Matthew, do be sure to say hi. And, we're always accepting of drinks. Other than that, we're also always accepting, reviews. Be sure to rate us on Apple Podcasts, like us on Facebook, and be sure to subscribe. For Garrett, John, and myself, Alex, we are signing off. Talk to you after Nova.
Later, folks.
Night.
Winning is not a sometime thing. It's an all-the-time thing. You don't win once in a while, and you don't do things right once in a while. You do them right all the time. Winning is a habit.